Welcome to this episode of 60 Second Retail, a BDO podcast keeping you in the know on events and trends in the retail and consumer products industry impacting your bottom line in just a few short minutes.
Hello, my name is Nellie Cutler. I'm the national leader of the Retail and Consumer Products Industry Group at BDO USA. With us today is Mark Melnichenko, Managing Director and Privacy Technology Practice Leader at BDO. And Mark is here to speak with us about a topic of growing importance for retailers who collect and use customer data via their websites, their mobile apps. Now, since this data is considered personal information, it is subject to requirements in a growing number of privacy laws in the U.S. and abroad. So a really important topic. Welcome to the show, Mark.
Thanks very much, Natalie. It's great to be here today.
Awesome. So most retailers collect personal information via their digital interaction with customers. So we know, and we do this all the time, we provide our own information. They are all increasingly undertaking innovative projects to align with customer behavior shifts and to provide more sophisticated technology solutions. So I guess my question to you is, Mark, what do retailers need to know when it comes to privacy compliance with these technologies?
Well, the first thing, Natalie, is that retailers need to know there are several privacy laws, which I would describe as broad, with which they may need to comply. What I mean by broad is that they govern what companies do with all kinds of personal information. Some of our listeners, I'm sure, are familiar with HIPAA, which is specific to the healthcare industry, but these laws really cover all kinds of personal data across all industries. And the landscape of these laws is expanding and changing quickly, with new ones being passed all the time. For example, here in the U.S., there is no broad federal privacy law at this time, but there are 14 states which have passed their own laws, and five of those are actually already in effect and able to be enforced. If retail companies don't already have a privacy expert in-house, they'll need external help to understand what's needed to comply with these laws. Second thing is that these laws are jurisdictional. And what I mean by that is that they apply based on where the individuals live whose personal information is being collected and used for some purpose, not on where the company is located or headquartered, for example. As such, especially for online retailers, they almost assuredly need to comply with at least one of these laws. And lastly, most of these laws include requirements related to users being able to express what are called consent choices with respect to the use of tracking technologies. Now, these tracking technologies show up most notably in websites, but also in mobile apps. And I'm sure most, if not all, of our listeners have experienced seeing cookie banners when they browse sites on the internet these days, where they have the ability to exercise choices around which tracking technologies are used.
So, and you're right, I've seen cookie banners everywhere, every website, whether it's mobile or online using your computer, cookie banners are all over the place. Now, you talk about choices, right? So it is my understanding that with a lot of these solutions that give the user choices, they don't always work correctly. Can you give us some more details on that?
Yeah, absolutely. And unfortunately, that is definitely true in our experience. And in general, there's two reasons for this. First, when the solution is first put in place, it may or may not have been deployed to the website correctly or been thoroughly tested to make sure that every possible combination of choices that a user can make actually blocks the appropriate tracking technologies. There are different approaches taken to blocking the writing of cookies when a user opts out of their use. And depending on the approach that's used, combined with other aspects of how the website or a mobile app work, it can make it tricky to ensure that that blocking is always working correctly. Second, even if it was working correctly on day one of its implementation, these solutions have to be maintained over time as well, and they're often not. Websites and mobile apps are not a static thing. They're updated, sometimes quite frequently. And each of those updates may include a change to the tracking technologies that are used. And if so, then that consent solution has to be updated accordingly as well. If not, it may drift over time as new tracking technologies are introduced or old ones are removed. And that's why we always recommend that there be ongoing testing done of these solutions ideally, each time that there is an update to the technology, or at least as often as the tracking technology landscape is changed.
Got it. So, Mark, I'm going to ask you a question that I'm sure everyone is thinking about, it because this all sounds necessary and complex. However, given today's economy, and I know that a lot of retailers are scaling back on their spending, looking at their expenses, you know, can you give us some insight as to the efforts and the costs involved in addressing some of these concerns? Because I'm sure that our listeners are wondering.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And, you know, the short answer is that it depends on a number of variables, but I'll try to give you some broad notions of what the effort and cost can be and what some of the key variables are that affect that. So if you're implementing one of these consent solutions from scratch, you have websites where you haven't put something like this in place, and those are definitely out there. Despite us running into the banners all the time, there are still sites that don't have that functionality yet. First thing you need to do is choose the platform that you're going to implement. Most companies don't build their own custom solutions, although you can. Most of them use third-party solutions that are available on the market. The cost for the software itself will depend on typically how many websites or apps you need to cover, and can range from a few thousand dollars to potentially tens of thousands of dollars if you have, for example, a large number of websites to manage. Once you've acquired the solution, then it needs to be configured for each site or app that you're going to put the consent functionality in place for. This usually, depending on the solution, involves first running scans to identify all the tracking technologies that are used and to categorize them. For example, when you see one of these banners, if you choose to interact with the settings, you may see things like strictly necessary cookies or performance cookies or what have you, and many of those categories can be turned off. Second, you need to design the look and feel of the user interface, right? What's the banner going to look like? What buttons are going to be on it? And then if I click in to exercise my more granular choices, there's typically what's called a preference center for doing that. And so the user interface needs to be configured and branded to look naturally like a part of the website that it's being added to. And then lastly, code needs to be deployed to each relevant website or app. And that's where sometimes the deployments aren't done quite right and can cause some of the issues that we were talking about earlier. Once deployed, then you need to test, fix any issues that are found, just like with any other software project, before going into your ongoing maintenance phase. So overall, the cost for that effort depends most heavily on the number of sites or apps in scope. For one site, the cost might be around $10,000 to $20,000. But the good news is that you add more sites to the, it doesn't go linearly up from there. You generally get some economies of scale because you're doing the same types of repetitive things on many sites. So the per site cost would go down from there. But we've had some clients that have thousands of websites to manage. So as you might imagine, the scope for that is a different thing entirely.
Yeah, for sure. It sounds like it could be a small or a really large product, I guess, depending on the structure of the company's e-commerce mobile device platform. So thank you very much for that, Mark. And if you have any questions on what we've covered in this episode, please reach out to us using the Contact Us form on our podcast landing page. And don't forget to add us to your library wherever you listen to podcasts so you can keep your finger on the pulse of the retail industry. Have a great day.
Thanks, everyone.
And that concludes this episode of BDO's 60 Second Retail Podcast. Don't forget to tune in for the next episode. To find more information on our hosts, guests, BDO's services, or listen to previous episodes of 60 Second Retail, please visit www.bdo.com/60-second-retail.